Welcome to the Power of Love Show, sponsored by the Dede Jackson Foundation, where we shine a light on loss and grief and how it impacts our lives. We are here to provide hope, resources, and a community so no one feels alone in their grief. Enjoy the show. Welcome to the Power of Love Show, sponsored by the Dede Jackson Foundation. Look at Taj with a late sliding in entrance, I guess. Is that what that was, Taj?
It was very messy, but yeah, that's exactly what it was.
It's all good, Taj.
It wasn't in the same place to start the cam as where I stopped it. That's the problem.
All good. Well, we are live, ladies and gentlemen. Today's date is February 14. It is Valentine's Day. Yes, 2024. Of course, like I had just said, we are live on Facebook and YouTube. We are also streaming, in case you're listening to us on a podcast, we are streaming on a podcast. I want to say a couple other things, Taj, before we get started. First of all, I'm not in California. I'm in Texas, at my nephew's house. I just got here. I just arrived. I need a haircut, so I'm not visually prepared. But I am mentally and ready and excited because we have a guest, I should say, who's making an extra appearance, who's been on here before with us. So I'm really excited. More on that later, because first we need to do the disclaimer, which I know Taj isn't going to do. Nope. So I'm going to just go ahead and do that now. And that is we, as in Taj, myself. We are not licensed therapists. We are just ordinary people who've experienced loss in our lives. We've been impacted by it and we have learned from it. And what we like to do here on the Power of Love Show is share our opinions in an attempt to help you get through whatever it is you may be going through. Saying that, if you need professional help, we urge you to seek it and to find it. Please do not rely on us. Again, this is the Power of Love Show, our weekly show, sponsored and brought to you by the Dede Jackson Foundation, with the whole goal is to make life a little bit easier for you. We talk about all different difficult topics, from loss to other type of more simpler challenges, mental health, just a variety of challenging topics is what this show is about. And our whole goal is to help you guys, help anyone who's watching or listening to us, help you feel not alone in your journey. Taj Jackson, I feel like it's been a little while since we've been on. Last week, I was in Nashville, so we did not do a show. And then the week prior, I think, was the last show we had done. So I'm going to pass the mic to you to just check in and see how you've been these last, I guess, since February. How's your February going?
Going well. I'm trying to think if there's any events that have happened in that way. Not really, TJ, unfortunately. I know that sounds really boring. I mean,
it does.
I had a little scare with my daughters, as you know, but something fell on their head and shattered while they're taking the bath, but they're okay and everything like that. But that was probably the most interesting / traumatic thing that's happened to me in the last 2 weeks, I would say.
Yeah. A parent's worst nightmare, parents just traumatic zone. You know, I was just recanting the story to, I don't remember who, a family member about when Royal, when he was a baby, when he had his serious gash and needed numerous stitches and blood was everywhere. And as a new father, that was one of the most challenging and difficult moments of my life. And I was just telling him how sometimes you have to let others make decisions. And I actually said the whole purpose of why I was sharing the story, because I remember that the doctor and nurses were asking me as the father questions. Yeah. And I always say this, I said, you got to talk to him, and pointed, well, this way it would be. I pointed to Taj because my mind was not there. I couldn't think straight. At least had enough sense to pass the mic to pass those answering those questions to a stable mind in my elder brother. But those kind of moments are very challenging. So I know you are a very calm person. I know you're a very reasonable person, Taj, but I can only imagine how scared and concerned you were with that episode.
Yeah, it was interesting. Just felt, you know, that helpless feeling. So I know what you were, you know, exactly as a parent, you know, in that way. And just, my littlest one, I say littlest one in terms of, because I don't count the baby as the littlest one yet, because she hasn't walked, crawl. She's just started speaking, but the one that talks a lot, Tori, the middle one, I'm just worried because I remember going through that glass window when I was, you know, I was about 3 years old, and she's coming up on three, but she still remembers it. She still every day talks about it in that way. So it's a little, so I'm just, she's more traumatized than Taylor is. Taylor just, you know, Taylor, it just rolled off of Taylor. Taylor's like, what happened? You know, in that way. So
she, I was going to ask you, do you feel like it's still with them?
With Tori, she has that terrible rhinoceros / elephant memory.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yes. Where she like probably could, you know, Terrell's one of those that remember when from his birth onwards.
Yeah.
You know, in that way, I can't remember, like, three is kind of the threshold for me where I could remember something onwards. And that's kind of pushing it, like four, is like, you know, but yeah, she remembers things like she's a sponge in that way. So that's why I was just worried, because if it's affecting her now, but I mean, you know, they're doing fine in that way. And there's nothing too permanent in that way, just some cuts on their legs and stuff.
Well, I know they're in good hands with you and Tiana Taj, and you know, I'm thankful it wasn't worse. And
me too. That's how you look at it, though, right?
Yeah, you have to. And you know, I know you went through a similar situation. Auntie Janet was the one watching you, right?
We were playing tag. I think it was a couple cousins. It was a couple cousins and Auntie Janet and Uncle Randy. We were playing. I guess we were playing tag or something.
They were responsible for you guys, right?
Yeah, at Havenhurst. Yeah,
that's incredible.
Yeah.
And you seem to turn out just fine. So
yeah,
sometimes.
Yeah, I was going to say apparently.
Okay. Nothing else has been on with me. Like I said, I've been doing a lot of traveling. I've been in Tennessee. I saw Terrell. I saw my nephews play some basketball. So happy to see them. They're doing well. And then I came down to Texas to see more family, and everyone seems to be doing okay. So with that said, Taj, if it's okay, we have an amazing
guest.
I don't even like calling her a guest because she's already been on the show. But I'm going to say we have an amazing guest lined up, and I'd love to get right into it if it's cool with you.
Yeah, let's do it.
So, okay, ladies and gentlemen, on today's episode of the Power of Love Show, we are welcoming back a special guest, as I said, and a dear friend of DDJF. That is Leanne Friesen. You may recall from her previous appearance on the Power of Love Show back in November of 2022 that Leanne is the author of Grieving Room, Making Space for All the Hard Things After Death and Loss, which officially hit the shelves last week. Ooh. Passionate about creating space for grief, she has run the popular Instagram page at grieving.room for the last 2 years. I could have just said Grieving Room, but I wanted to make sure I threw in the handle in case anyone wants to go follow. And again, that's at grieving.room.
Nice.
Anyways, in addition to her admirable work in the grief space, Leanne is also an ordained minister and dedicated mother of two teenagers living in Hamilton, Ontario, Canada. So with all of that said, here today to share a bit more about her newly released book. Without much further ado, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome back to the Power of Love Show, Leanne Friesen.
I feel like I need to do this.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Well, thank you for that kind introduction. I'm honored to be considered a friend of the Dee Dee Jackson Foundation.
You are once a friend, always a friend.
That's especially awesome.
The grief world where you know, it takes a lot of bravery and courage and a lot of strength to share and to occupy any space in the grief world. So as my brother and I like to do, we first want to, you know, admire you and give you your kudos for that. It's a very challenging and difficult space. So thank you for being part of it.
Thank you.
Now, for those who may be new to our community since your last appearance, can you share a bit about your book, Grieving Room, Making Space for All the Hard Things After Death and Loss?
Thanks.
And I'd like to know also, Leanne, what inspired you to write it?
Sure. Well, I can show it to you quickly because I have it here. Yeah. This is what it looks like. And this book came out of really simply my experience of learning to give grief room. I talked a bit about this on the podcast last time, but when 11 years ago, my eldest sister, who is named Roxanne, to whom I was very close, she died of melanoma after an 8-year battle with cancer. Now, at that time, I was 35. I was relatively young to go through sibling loss. But I also had this unique reality that I had journeyed with grief for a lot of my life because I was working as a pastor, a funeral officiant. I had counseled grieving people and sat at deathbeds. Thought I'd have a good handle on how to do this and discovered that it was a lot more complicated than I thought. And spent the next while figuring out, what does grief mean? What does it look like? And figuring I could fix it, trying to find all the things to make it better. What am I going to do to make it better? What am I going to do to fix it? What am I going to do to just get to the other side of this thing? And my journey taught me that it was a lot about making space for grief, or as I eventually started calling it, giving grief room. And so as the years went by, I started writing a little bit more about grief, sharing about it when I'd be speaking at events, or I had a blog, those kind of things. And it evolved into this book that I wrote a couple of years ago. And this idea of also this blog at grieving.room. And so the two are on the same theme. And so this book tells a story exactly that, making space for all the hard things after death and loss. Each chapter is a different type of grief that I discovered I needed. And my sister's story is really sort of the linchpin of this book, or I should say me grieving the loss of my sister in that story. Our stories are intertwined. And ultimately, just these different types of room that I discovered were important. So room for rage, room for imperfect goodbyes, room for hard holidays, room for regret, and things that I kind of would have thought needed to be pushed away, but I discovered they needed space. And so that's where this book came from. And then last week, it officially hit the shelf. So I'm glad that I could be here to talk about grief with you again today.
Beautiful. Who, Leanne, who was the book intended for?
I think when I wrote this book, you know, the initial audience, if I can be totally selfish, when I sat down to write, it was me. You know, I sat down and I was like, this is something I've got to get out. But always what I visioned was, this is the book that I want to give people who are grieving. And so I spent so much of my life sitting, talking to grieving people, and there's great grief books out there. None of them were quite the story that I wanted to hand people. So I wrote the book that I was like, when someone's in my office and they're like, it's been 6 months since my father died and I don't know what's wrong with me, I'm struggling. I wanted to write the book that I could take them and say, maybe this will help. And so the book is intended to help give grievers room, with the hope that I believe it's also helpful for anyone wanting to understand grief or learn about grief. I hoped it would be helpful to people in the grief support space, people who are either helping friends or loved ones grieve, or people who work in that professional space as well that may need to support, to just think about grief in this, in these ways that are about how we can give it space, how we can understand it more. So I hope the book's for everybody, because you know what? Every single one of us at some point in our life are going to grieve. We don't know when, but it's going to happen. And if not, we know someone who's grieved.
That's right.
And I think culturally, we have struggled to give grief room. We know this. So the tagline of my grieving page is, I say, grief doesn't need to be minimized, avoided, or fixed. It needs room. And we often know that when someone in our life is grieving, we kind of think we have to do one of those first three things, right? So we minimize it. Listen, it's going to be okay. You still have lots of life ahead of you. They wouldn't want you to be sad. Avoid it. You know, focus on the positive. At least there's lots of good things in your life. Or we want to fix it. Let me find the perfect thing to say. They're in a better place. Let me do something that'll make you feel better. That's what we think we need to do. And it's done with such good intentions. But my experience is that what the grievers need is space for their grief and all the hard things that come with it. And that's my hope, that people will be thinking about that more through the page and through the book.
Interesting.
That's great.
Yeah.
So it's been a little over a week since February 6th, right?
Yeah. So I guess a week yesterday.
A week yesterday.
Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
Valentine's Day. Since you've officially released it, I remember last time you were on it, it was, you were speaking out about it.
Yeah. It was still like, I was finishing up the stuff for the editors. It felt so far away the last time.
Okay.
So like, that's ages away, that book.
So it felt far away, but I'm curious to know, how does it feel now to finally get it out there and to have it out in the world and for, to have it, you know, in other people's hands. How does that feel?
It's been such a mix of emotions. It's been really beautiful to celebrate with others and to see how much room people are needing for their grief. And that's what the last few days have just reminded me over and over as I'm getting messages. I had a book launch on Saturdays. I'm talking to people and they're saying, yeah, this is what I needed. And this is the message I wish I'd had when I was grieving, or I read this chapter and it spoke to me so deeply, or that's exactly what I went through and I realize I'm normal. And so that's been so special. And there's such a sense of completion too. I said to my husband, when I sent this book off, I said, well, I can die now, which sounds dramatic, I know. But it was sort of this sense of, this is the thing that I was meant to do. And this is a message I feel I need to share. And I've shared it. And I'm glad for that. And then I'm also just a little tired because it is just a lot of work, but it's a good tired. But mostly it feels very humbling. Just this morning, I got a message from a friend. She said, I just finished your book and I'm a slow reader. And I don't say this to boast, but it's just so humbling. And she said, I read it in 2 days and I just went and ordered 4 more. And I just can't thank you enough because I just want to give it to everyone I know. And I said, thank you. You know, that's so honoring and so beautiful to know that this book has done what I hoped, which is give this message that I hoped it would give. Because you don't know, only a few people had read it. The publisher had read it and a couple others. So as people are saying, this is what I'm feeling, it's the sense of, okay, really, yes, it's doing what I hope it will do.
What great feedback. Yeah, exactly.
I just shared on the screen a minute or so ago the book cover, as well as if you could see on the really on the bottom part, it would tell you the stories you can purchase the book. But in case anyone is listening to the podcast, I want to officially ask, where, how do people order the book, or how can we get a copy of the book?
I mean, the easiest place if you're into online shopping is, of course, Amazon. So it's Amazon.com, Amazon.ca. I know it's going to be released in the States, in Europe, in England, forgive me, soon. Some people internationally have asked me how to get it. That you can go directly to the publisher for that, which is Broadleaf Press. So you can reach out on Instagram at Broadleaf Press. And then, of course, if you're in the States, Barnes & Noble, many of the Barnes & Nobles are carrying it. And in Canada, Indigo is carrying it. And I encourage you to ask your local bookstore. We love local bookstores. So if they can order it in for you, that's great too. But you should be able to get your hands on it in any of those places.
I also want to share just to our community or anyone who's listening, please request it at the local bookstore or mention it. Or if you know someone who just went through a loss or not, just please purchase and gift copies, because I've always said it. It was a book that really did a lot of help for me. And it took me a while to find a book. But books are a solid way for people who are going through their most challenging moments to go through it, because it's on their terms. They feel like they can connect. They don't feel so isolated. So I urge anyone who may be thinking about it to go ahead and order Leanne's book, because it's important to not only support authors like Leanne in our grief space, because when we go into bookstores, it's grief isn't something that we want thrown in our face often. So bookstores usually don't give us the best placement. You know, it's always, you know, pop culture or a new business book or something of that nature. So we have to do our part in supporting authors who are writing about this challenging topic.
And you wrote such a lovely endorsement. Thank you.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And I read that someone just told me, and I didn't know this, that you can gift the Audible book. And so she said, I sent the audio version via Amazon. You can send the audio book to someone. I thought, that's a really nice thing to do. And something I've said to people, now here's my terrible marketing strategy. I often say a brand new griever is usually not ready for a book, right? And if you grieve new, oh my gosh, a whole book can be overwhelming, which I think is where the Instagram page and communities like this can be helpful, podcasts and something. But I say, you know, it's usually a couple months in. And so if you want it to gift it to someone, I think it can be, or any grief book, it can be such a nice thing to make a little note on your calendar to someone who's grieving, maybe month 2, month 3, to send it then, because then it sends that message. You remember them, you know that you've thought about them, and now maybe they're ready. So it can be a nice time that couple month mark to send something then and say, maybe this is time. And if you do give it to them early on, absolutely give them permission to say, if you're not ready for this, that's okay. We'll put it down whenever you need or take a break. We want to give people that space. Exactly what you said, books are so helpful. Let them know they can read it on their own time. This is
beautiful.
Great, beautiful. Yeah. Thank you.
Talking about your book, Grieving Room, do you mind, Leanne, is it possible, one of our, several of our wonderful supporters in the community always love it when our guests read or share some of, you know, their art or content, whatever they're here for. So I'm going to ask if you mind reading any portion of your book or any passage that you want to share with the community.
Yeah, I'd love to. So as I said, the book has a series of different chapters, different types of room. So I'm going to read a section from a chapter that I called Room for the Roller Coaster. And the beginning of the chapter, and maybe you guys resonate with this, talked about how I sort of thought grief would go like this, like it'd be really bad. And then every day would be like a little bit better. And I was a little surprised to discover grief went like this, you know, right? And that you could kind of have good moments and then really be down in the pit. And you could have a good day and then a really bad day, a good week, and then a really, really hard week. And the roller coaster surprised me. And I talk about the need to give it room. So this is near the end of that chapter. So I'll read a little bit. Thank you for the opportunity.
Yeah.
And it says, I've never liked roller coasters. I don't hate roller coasters. And I hated the grief roller coaster most of all. I hadn't signed up for it, hadn't bought a pass, hadn't agreed to the ride. It was infuriating. And I hated the times that the roller coaster would fling me down into the abyss with no warning whatsoever. When I would be walking and see my sister Roxanne's favorite flower, or when my kids would play with a toy she had given them, or when I would pick up the phone to call her and realize I couldn't. Author Alan Wolfowitz describes these experiences as grief bursts. They are moments when your grief bursts out on you unexpectedly, triggered by things that may seem insignificant. Hearing a song on the radio, seeing a favorite food at the grocery store, smelling a perfume. You may be fine 1 minute and bursting all over the place the next. My husband and I went out for our anniversary. We were sitting in a restaurant and the Police song, Roxanne, came on. I suddenly started to blubber. I watched a children's movie with a touching scene between a father and his daughter at the end. I was undone. I walked into the mall one day and a song I had heard on the radio the night Roxanne died started playing over the sound system. I had to turn around and leave. Grief bursts came again and again. The burst I remember most came on my daughter's birthday over a year after Roxanne died. It had been a good busy day. And I'd not actually thought of Roxanne very often in the midst of all the preparations for a four-year-old's birthday party over a year since her death. But as I got into bed that night, my husband Dallas said, "Oh, by the way, when you were out, your sister called." And I said, "Which sister? Which sister?" As if there had been an option, as if I still had two sisters, as if Roxanne wasn't dead. For a moment, I forgot that I only had one sister now. Dallas just stared at me, waiting to see if I realized what I'd said. I stood still, startled for a moment, and then I started to sob. I cried and cried and cried, cried until my head hurt and my eyes were puffy. The whole day I had felt fine, and then in one moment, the loss swept over me in a tidal wave. We can't avoid the grief roller coaster. Sometimes you will ride along just fine, and other times you are going to dip hard and fast. That's how it is. All we can do is make room for the ride, room for the bursting, room for the ups and downs, room for good days with the bad. The only predictable part of grief is that it is unpredictable. If we love someone who is grieving, making space for the roller coaster can be hard. My husband once told me that the hardest part of my grieving was wondering which Leanne he would find at the end of the night. He could tell my face when he came home exactly where I was on the roller coaster, and it could be really hard for him to keep up. He was very patient as I mourned, but the unpredictability of grief can be exhausting for someone trying to support a grieving person. Know that there is nothing you can do to avoid the roller coaster for someone grieving. Know that your loved one is normal. They are on a ride they won't get off for a while. It's not about you. If you say or do something that triggers emotions, don't feel guilty. It's not your fault. Your loved one is on a crazy ride, and there's no way for you to predict what way it's turning. The roller coaster is a ride we can't get off for a while. The best we can do is buckle up and trust that while the ride bucks and flips us in every direction we didn't anticipate, we aren't going to fall out.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Thank you.
Maybe that experience resonates with you.
Yeah, it's right on. And every time, you know, a guest will read a portion or do something like that, I try to put myself into someone who's never experienced or is new to an experience deep loss. And it brings me back to the time when I felt like I finally got some, I wasn't alone, you know, and that's such an important feeling when you're going through this situation is that feeling that it's not just me who's going through this. Others are going through a similar thing, because it gives you hope. It makes you feel like you're going to be okay at some point.
Mm-hmm. And, well, grief is shocking.
Yeah.
Right. You find it. I know how I felt was, I can't believe the rest of the world is walking around who's had this grief. And I had no idea people were living with this and then you go, well, I guess they must have.
Mm-hmm.
And then as you start hearing other people say it, you go, I guess I'm not crazy. And I guess this is what grief can look like. Mm-hmm. And it's so validating, exactly what you said, to go, okay, this is a reasonable way to feel. It's not an okay way to feel. It feels terrible, but it's okay that you feel it, right? Mm. But our tendency in the world is to assume that if something feels hard, it must be bad. Yeah. Grief is hard, but it's not bad. It is, right? And others feeling that can help us. So I agree with what you're saying, right? Just those little things where someone says, I did that too. I fell apart in the grocery store one day because I saw their favorite soda and I realized they wouldn't drink it anymore. You go, oh, I'm not the only one in grocery stores crying, you know, or whatever it might be.
So, so true. If you're catching us late, or if you joined late, I should say, and you heard Leanne read the passage, it's from her book, Grieving Room, Making Space for All the Things After Death and Loss. It is available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, bookshop.com, Target, Walmart, in Audible, and of course, Kindle format. I love that you've done it on pretty much every format you can, and it seems to be everywhere you can possibly get it.
Yeah, so. I'm just envious you all have Target, because I'm in Canada and we don't have a Target.
I do love me some
Target. Oh man, they get to go to Target. Nice.
I do love me some Target.
Us Canadians, like, you have to stop at it. You have to make a Target run whenever you're in the States. Like, message. Oh my God.
Real quick, Taj, first, before you, if you had a question, this is a comment from Georgina, who says, thanks, this was great writing, also mentioning your partner. But Georgina also wanted to know who's one who always wants guests to read their passages. She's one of the ones who helped us infiltrate that or put that in our shows. Georgina also wants to know, at which age would you suggest your book? Who is it for?
Yeah, it's a mature reader. So what I mean by that is certain, like a teenager that would be read, or an adult. It's not a kid's book. There are great kids' books on grief out there for sure. I recommend When Gray Came to Stay. That's one online. And Alligator Soup is very good for children. But it's designed for someone who is going through a grown-up grief, so to speak. So I think certainly teenagers would be appropriate, or adults.
Nice.
Taj, before we go into a different gear, do you have any questions or anything you want to regarding the book or anything?
No, I particularly really enjoyed that passage. I enjoyed Georgina said as well, in terms of mentioning the partner, because in that aspect of it, I can only imagine, you know, there's the person that's going through that grief, but then there's also the person that feels helpless,
wanting
to do something to support them. And I really like what you said in that way, giving them permission that it's not you, you know, in that way. There's not really much you can do in that way.
Yeah.
Oh, go ahead.
I so often have people say to me who are married to someone or dating or a parent, and they just say, what can I do to help them? Like, I don't know what to do. They're so sad. Yeah. And it's so kind. Yeah. And it's going to be hard when I say, there's not a lot you can do to help them right now. Mm. You know, if your goal is just to get them to stop crying, to get them to feel better, you know what, they're going to be in the thick of it for a while.
Yeah.
And what you can do is be there for them. You can let them be sad when they're sad. You can let them be happy when they're happy. You can follow their lead. you know, you can avoid the things that make it harder. Things like, hey, stop crying, or don't think about it, or the things we do with really good intentions, right? Don't focus on it. Just don't dwell on it, or don't, or like, let's think about something else, or don't bring us down. And sometimes partners prove really hurtful. And another chapter in my book that several people have mentioned, you know, that one resonated with me, was one that says room for people to let you down. And so while I'm really thankful that I had this wonderful partner and 99% of the time he got it right, there was the 1% that he just said something that wasn't what I wanted to hear that day. The day before, it might've been perfect, to be fair. Yeah. And there were also the people, that's the hard thing, right? You might be like, yesterday she liked it, today she hates it. Because grief is hard. And there are the people who just totally screw it up, right? And they say things that are so hurtful and insensitive, or they don't say anything. And so I do talk about that, that yeah, you have those people that support you. And part of grieving is also saying, well, I'm going to sometimes feel really hurt by people in my life too. And we can make the choice to say, well, I guess they're terrible people and they're gone, or to say, I don't want to lose more from my life. So how am I going to make space for these people that let me down? Maybe I need to talk to them and share what was hurtful, find a way forward. Maybe I need to realize, oh, they're just not that kind of friend. Maybe they're a more just go to a movie friend than a share my heart friend. And so learning to make that space is a really hard part of grief too. But I'm really thankful, especially thinking of Valentine's Day today, right? I'm thankful that I had a partner that was supportive. Mm-hmm. But not everyone has that journey. And so I encourage people to keep trying when you don't find the people who get it. And if they don't, a book like this might help them to think about what you actually need, right? Maybe it can give you language that you didn't have. Listen, this is what I need. I need room. Help. This is what I need. Sometimes they need to help us. They need us to help them, which stinks. It stinks that you're grieving and you have to help people know what you need. But sometimes that's true too, because they don't know it either.
Yes. Well said. Well said. Now moving on, Leanne, to your other impactful work in the grief space, which is via social media. Yeah. How has your experience running the Instagram page at grieving.room, how has that influenced your understanding of grief?
Wow. Like I'm so thankful for that page. I started it hoping it would help grievers. I think yesterday it crossed 33,000 followers. So there's just this, and you know, I put up little thoughts about grief, and it's just such a reminder of how many people are looking for that space to understand their grief and space to grieve. And I encourage people who aren't grieving or they want to learn about it, I say, you know, you can read my page, but read the comments. If you want to understand what a grieving person's going through, read the comments. And so I've learned so much from the comments of our readers and from the posts that resonate. And so I often say, the posts that seem to resonate much the most, you know, have the most saves or comments, are those ones that basically validate the grief experiences that we often think are weird. So really popular ones have been, of course, you're tired, you're grieving. And it says, if you're really tired because you're grieving, that's normal because you're tired. Of course, you're angry, you're grieving. Being angry is normal when you grieve. So those ones that say these feelings that may seem like what's going on are part of grief are ones that people really go, oh, I feel that. And I see that. And so as I read their comments, I'm also just really struck by how hard people find it to find space for their grief, that they often, grievers often feel invalidated. They often feel forgotten. And that's a common theme, really common theme to hear people say, I wish my family understood this. I wish my husband understood this. I wish my kids understood this. Or to hear them say, everyone's forgotten me. No one talks to me about it anymore. And so that reminder of how much people are just longing for people to see them in their grief, even just by naming, I know you're still grieving, I haven't forgotten you. I've just been reminded of that over and over. And I that shaped me as I continue to facilitate this page.
You kind of inferred it a bit, but I'm curious to know how has it impacted you and your grief journey? And when I say it, I mean specifically the Instagram page. I know the book will as well, or at least writing the book, but all of that plays a role. Taj and I talk about it all the time at doing this show weekly. It's like our therapy. We have a better understanding of grief. We're learning about grief. It's actually very comforting and healing. Probably the process of opening up and again, feeling like you're not alone, you know? So, but I'm curious, is there any for you specifically, and related to this, your grieving.room page on Instagram, how has that posting and reading the posts, how has that impacted you specifically, your journey with grief?
For me, it's very similar to what you said. It continues to be such a part of my healing and such a part of seeing the arc of a story that I didn't want to have, but has somehow become beautiful in a different way. And so I talk very blatantly in the group book, again, one of these rooms I talk about is Room for Regret. And I was speaking with a fellow author last week on her live. Her name is Amanda Held Opelt, and she wrote a wonderful book about grief as well. And she had this great statement, and she said, you know, the bad thing is always bad. Like, I don't like it when people imply that the bad thing somehow becomes good. And she lost a sister as well. And she said, it's bad that my sister died of the flu in her 30s, which is what happened. It was awful. Mm. And cancer taking my sister in pain was bad. It was awful. So I don't have to look back and say that was good, right? And sometimes we do. We have to like, oh, it ended up being good. But the ability to see that what happened later, because that was the road of my story, wasn't all bad, that there was goodness in the next part is a really beautiful thing. Like your stories too, right? It's not good that your mother was murdered, but there's beauty in what you're doing now. Mm. And I think there's healing and hope in that. And that sense that I think my sister would have really loved that. Mm. I really do. I think she would be she did not want to die at 48. She did not want to leave her children. She had not come to terms with her death. She was a peaceful person. She accepted it, but she would have picked more life. But I also believe if she could have known that, she would have said, well, I'm glad at least something good. I'm glad some people are being helped. Yeah. I'm glad my story can something from this might help other people. And so that means a lot to me as it does for you, like you said. So almost exactly what you would say is what I would say.
Okay. And I agree completely. I mean, I know some in our community are dealing with loss, incredibly difficult loss. Mm-hmm. And it may not be now, but at some point I think doing something doesn't have to be as elaborate as or time intensive as writing a book or even starting a charity, but it could be something as simple as writing a poem, you know, sponsoring a child in that person's honor. But doing something of that nature is a very healing. Giving back and sharing your reasoning and having a why does wonders for healing, in my opinion.
So beautiful. That's why people do things like, you know, they do walks and runs in people's honor. You know, they give to someone, like you said, they donate to charity or they just share their story. Even when you just use your grief, and I hate to say the word use, but when out of your grief, even when the next person in your life grieves and you can understand them just that little bit better and you can think, this helped me when I grieve, so now I'll do that with them. You know, like that person brought me a meal and I liked it, so I'm going to bring a meal to them. Even those little things that maybe no one but that one person will see is that little bit of redemption from the bad thing.
Completely, completely agree. Another question, Taj, are you good?
I'm good.
Okay. Another question I have, and this is usually a question Taj asks. He doesn't even know what I'm about to say.
Oh, I'm excited. He's stealing your question.
Taj-esque question.
Yeah.
Let's hear it.
I know, my brother. Curious. So when someone like you who is doing so much in the grief space, grief world, giving so much, you know, it could be taxing in a way. You're running a grieving channel with 33,000 followers. You're writing a book that's gonna, you know, continue to be read by hundreds, thousands, and maybe at some point millions of readers. All this that you are giving in the grief space, is it challenging for you to self-prioritize your own well-being and to provide boundaries?
Yes, because I have a full-time job. So I often joke, this is my weird hobby, right? Yeah. So it's interesting to come home from a very full job and then, you know, to say, oh, in my spare time, I try to care for grievers. So I've had to be aware of that. And I like what you said at the beginning, you know, I can't use my page for therapy. And most grieving pages say that, right? That this, you know, as much as we'd love to, you know, sometimes people write, can I meet you for therapy? Do you do counseling? And some of those limits, as much as I'd love to do it, can be sent, you know, this is an offering I offer there as much as I can. And so learning, I think, to let things be as they come, if that makes sense. So I really try to only share on the grieving room page when something's really on my mind. So I try not to be like, I have to share content today. It has been 4 days and I need to put up content. And sometimes, practically speaking, in the social media world, and you know this, it can get really driven on the schedules and the content. And people will say to me, how do you get a lot of followers? And I'll say, well, you know, do the work, you know, be engaged, be faithful, but, you know, be true to yourself and to your content. And I do think, maybe it's a little bit pretentious to say, but I do think that sincerity comes through in the sense that, you know, this isn't just something to see if I get some more likes today, but no, this is something that's really on my mind. So all my posts come out of maybe I talked to someone the day that made me think of something, or maybe I was, an idea was going through my mind and I think that's something I'd like to share. Sometimes I reshare old posts if it's been a while since I've posted, and I just want to, you know, keep engaging and making space for people who may be wondering where I went. And I'll think, maybe, you know, is there something I'd like to say again? And I'm really thoughtful about what I'm picking if I go back to something and repeat it and maybe try and put a new spin on it or what have you. And also realizing that the page will be a bit of a revolving door, and I hope it will be. People who needed the page 2 years ago, you know, hopefully they don't need it in the same way a couple of years later. They might not need to be engaging in the same way. And I celebrate if someone's like, I can unfollow this grief page now. But it does mean that every day there's new grievers and they're finding it for the first time. So I think that helps me as much as makes sense. It is hard. Thank you for being aware of that for sure. But to try and keep that sincerity to yourself and what you're doing it for. Not here to build followers, not here to drive content, not here to make money, just here because I think this might help. And as cheesy and cliche as it sounds, listen to your heart. And so that's what I try to do. I try to listen to my heart and what is on my heart for my dear grievers today. And, you know, it's a bit of a joke. My family, like, you know, Christmas Day, you know, take a quick look at the posts. And, you know, sometimes there's a line that I'll say sometimes, and Valentine's Day can be one of those days. And I'll say, oh, the grievers aren't doing well today, you know, because there'll be something that is just put a lot up, and I follow other grieving posts. And it's just, you know, you kind of step into this world for a moment when, you know, when I'm not actively grieving in the same way. My sister died a decade ago. And then you step into that grieving world and you remember that space and try to be as present as you can and as compassionate and empathetic as you can. Did that answer your question?
Okay. Yeah. Well said. No, definitely. it kind of answered a bit on this question, but what I was going to say is I'm reading the comments and I've seen some people share their own personal stories, grief journeys that are and going through very difficult moments.
Yeah, sending right. you all love. I have not mastered the skill of doing lives and reading comments at the same time. So I'm not ignoring any of you, but know Leanne, that
this is our show number 307. So we have some experience.
Yes, yes, so. Yeah. That's well done. Well done, guys. That's nice.
But the question I want to say or ask was, do you have any advice for individuals who are struggling to cope with loss and grief, especially during challenging times?
I mean, I have so much advice, but I wrote a book of advice, to be honest. I think I'll try and keep it as direct as I can. So, I mean, there's different things I'll pick on different days, but today the one that's on my mind to say is, again, as cliche as it sounds, is to be so gracious with yourself. I just did a post on this yesterday. Oh, grievers are so good at shooting all over ourselves. I should be doing better. I should be over it. I shouldn't be mad. I should be grateful. And if you can just, when you hear that voice in your head, say, I am grieving. And grief is its own big, huge thing. And it's a massive thing that I'm carrying around. And I can be a little easier on myself, which means I can say no to things and I can set boundaries and I can be aware that I am not myself right now. And all of that's okay. I think, again, giving your grief room And what that means is letting that grief come. And instead of trying to find the way to just push it aside and get past it and get better, there will be a season where you go, I'm on another side of this. I've been transformed by it. It comes with me, but I'm not in the thick of it in the same way. And I promise that time will come, but it comes by going through it. And it comes by making space when those big emotions come. And I think just thinking back to what we were talking about earlier, as much as you can, trying to find that language so that you can get help. And I often encourage, so this is a real practical one. I usually encourage grievers to come up with the responses for different scenarios. So there's your response for when you do not want to talk about it, right? So what's your response for the people that you're like, I don't want to talk about it now, or I don't want to talk to you. You know what I'm saying? You know, the person comes up and they say, how are you? And sometimes that can be so lovely. And sometimes you're like, I do not feel like telling you my whole thing. So what's your response to them? Mine was, you know what? I'm hanging in there. Thank you for asking. That was my response to, I don't want to get into this right now.
Yeah.
But sometimes I gave that response, and I talk about this in the book, when I actually really did want to talk.
Mm.
So you also can find out what is the thing you need to say to help people care for you.
Mm.
And so sometimes it's telling, I know it sounds so contrived, but it can be so helpful. Letting the people closest in your circle almost have a code, which might be as simple as, I need to talk about my grief, or I'm having a bad grief day. So right after my sister died, you know, and the whole family had gathered around, we were a large family, we unintentionally developed a code word, because you might, if you've been at funerals, you know that there can be laughing and there can be busyness and there can be all this chaos. And then sometimes it hits someone. And our word was, I'm having a moment. And I don't know how that evolved when we'd say, I'm having a moment. And that meant, I can't laugh about this right now. And it's hitting me real hard. And we need to stop, and we need to be sad with me right now. And that was our code. I'm having a moment, which sometimes meant I'm about to cry. I'm overwheelmed. The lightheartedness needs to pause, or the busyness needs to pause because it's hitting me. And everyone would sort of stop and meet us in the moment. And so what are those things you can say to your partners, to your loved ones, to those closest to you, to let them know this is a bad grief day, or to ask for help? And so, and that might look like lots of people. And again, it might not be sometimes the people you think. You might have to go outside your circles. You might need a therapist. You might need to go to a pastor or a rabbi or whoever it might be in your life, or someone that just for some reason, they kind of get it. Maybe start with fellow grievers. They're usually your best bet. If you've lost a mother, another person who's lost a mother will usually be a person who can meet you there, as long as they're a little bit further past, not when they're right in the thick of them themselves. So hopefully that gives some thoughts, thinking about how you can ask for help and how you can say it in a way that will express it, because often we get stuck in that. And please keep trying until you find it. So don't give up, right? When you say to someone, yeah, I really miss my sister today. And they go, oh, that's too bad. Oh my goodness, isn't this weather awful? And you kind of feel, maybe you had those moments, like you kind of feel like, I just opened this wound out and now I just feel so vulnerable and bruised.
Yeah.
Try again. Try someone else. You know, don't let it pass by.
Well said. Well said. Thank you so much for that, Leanne.
Yeah.
I've actually never heard a guest talk about finding your language to help you express your emotion. I think that's great. So thank you.
That was my journey.
Yeah. But it's great. It's true. It's true.
Yeah.
Because sometimes we get so stuck in our mind, we don't know how to articulate what we're going through and what we're feeling. And it's a very important piece, especially when you're dealing with loss for those
therapists
around
call
you.
It a hope ahead strategy, right? It's a plan ahead. And, you know, even as this book comes out, you know, some of my family members have said, what do I do if people talk to me about your book and I don't want to talk about it? I mean, what a great question. They're so gracious in letting me publish their story, right? Because their story is their true story. And I say, think of your answer ahead of time.
Yeah.
If your answer is, I'm so proud of this book, I don't want to talk about it. Or, you know, I'm happy with the book, I don't want to talk about it today. You know, think about what you want to say. Or if you do want to talk about it, go crazy, right? Yeah. And so realizing that, think about that and what you want to say. And that's so okay to be aware of what you might want to say in that moment. We'll never be fully prepared. Sometimes people just completely blindside you with statements, comments, questions that you couldn't anticipate. But sometimes we can think a little bit ahead of time about what we're comfortable with.
April and Cecile in our chat had are going through very challenging moments. And I think your answer about, you know, understand that there is another side to it. You will come to another side at some point.
I truly doubted it.
It may take years. It may take 5 years, 10 years, but do not give up. And just understand with expressing yourself and just time, I would completely agree. You do feel like, okay, I can survive this. I can get through this. I can only imagine what both of you are going through. But I felt it was important to share that to you because I can somewhat relate to the loneliness aspect of feeling like, you know, and like you said, Leanne, it's a roller coaster. Some days you may be feeling great. And then some days it's just feels like it's back to square one. Yeah. But I feel those days back to square one become less and less at some point.
My counselor gave me this beautiful chart. I think I might have said this last time I was here. And I remember saying, I can't imagine it ever not feeling this awful. And she drew a little stick person. She said, this is you. And then she drew a circle around me. And she said, right now, this is your grief. And the circle is your grief. And you're right in the middle of it. But she said one day, and then she drew another stick person and she drew the circle beside me. And she said, this will be your grief. You'll still have it, but it won't feel like you're just living in the middle of it all the time. And when I was in the height of my grief and just couldn't even conceive of how life could ever have joy again, I remember I would ask people if things ever got better. And they would often say, well, you always grieve. And I say that too. You always grieve. Grief becomes part of your transfer. And so that's true. And I know I'm glad that people told me that there wasn't this like, listen, don't expect there's going to be this moment. You're going to be like, I'm done. Box ticked, right? I'm finished. But I also needed to hear, and it's not going to be like this forever, because that's the tension. And so I want to say that to grievers, it's so normal what you're feeling, and your grief is something that you learn to live with, and it will not feel like this forever. And as extreme as it is, I really do promise that. I do. And I needed to hear that. But today it's hard. Yeah. And having the days that it's hard is okay too.
Leanne Friesen, you can go to leannefriesen.com to learn more about Leanne. Her Instagram, of course, at grieving.room, grieving.room on Instagram. And
yeah, that's me. Just Leanne Friesen.
I think TJ froze for a second.
Hey, froze. The nephew's Wi-Fi. It's hard when you're in another person's house. You don't know the Wi-Fi situation.
Yeah, right.
I know. But okay, I wanted
when
to say
I joked on my page. I said I'm going to be on this podcast tomorrow, which means inevitably, because it goes live, I'm going to say something stupid. And that, I was like, so hang tight, because that's what happens when you go live. You go, I can't believe I just said that. I can't take it back.
It's part of it, but we're doing it. And I just want to highlight the book one more time. Grieving Room.
You're so gracious.
Making Space for All the Hard Things After Death and Loss. Available pretty much everywhere.
Including Target.
And before we let you go, thank you again for coming back. Thank you for writing the book. Thank you for all you're doing on social media. Before we let any guests leave, we like to give them the final say, a final whatever. It could be on topic. It could be off topic. Anything you want. To share with our community. Please go whenever you feel free.
Awesome. Well, you've already mentioned the book. And again, if that feels like a good fit for you, I hope you'll feel it will resonate with you. But again, if you're not ready for a book, that's okay too. I hope the Instagram page helps you. And if you don't think about this, me or my book or my Instagram page past today, to any of you grieving that watch this, I just want to say that your grief is important and it matters and it is precious and it is a thing that deserves room. And I hope you'll find it.
Well said. Thank you so much, Leanne.
Thank you. It's great to see you both. Have a great time with your nephew.
It was wonderful to see you. And again, just very proud and honored you're back with us. And
thank you for all you do.
Yeah, hopefully there'll be another follow-up book or something that will have you back on here sooner than later. But Taj, before I terminate the live stream, I want to make sure there's nothing else you wanted to ask or say.
No, just, you know, obviously, you know, thank you for coming back on in that way. And it's, you know, publishing a book and having it out is super exciting in that way. So I'm very excited for you. And it's, and as TJ said, you know, we're very much appreciative because it's helping others in that way. Your book's out there and it's changing someone's life in that way. And so thank you for being that person.
Well, thank you for this opportunity to share. I'm really honored to be here. I'm still slightly, I'm recovering from the phrase Auntie Janet when I like put together who that is. Like I have a moment of like, right. I love it. Say hi to Auntie Janet.
Yes. Yes. That's wonderful.
That's what I do. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Leanne. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. To everyone who is watching or listening, we'll be back next Wednesday, 1 p.m. Pacific time with a new show. Please be safe. Please enjoy the rest of your week and happy Valentine's Day. Yeah. Adios, everyone. Bye-bye.
Thank you.